All right, what we're watching is sponsored by Got a Door and Window. Buy any window or door, get the second to 50% off, plus interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Got a Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit goguida.com. Well, Ray, I have told you that I am addicted to the show Winning Time on HBO, which is a recreation of the Los Angeles Lakers Showtime, from Jerry Buss all the way on down. And while it is getting tremendous ratings and is the buzz of the country, it is also generating a lot of controversy because, you may not know this, Ray.
Yeah.
It's been said it's less than 100% accurate to the facts.
I think I'm on the record as saying that, actually.
You left it after two episodes?
I bailed after two episodes.
Yeah, and I'm watching it and enjoying it, even while I know I'm watching trash. But here's the thing. I wanted to bring on somebody who actually could be, and I don't mean to discount you, but was there for the whole thing.
Oh, right.
And really authoritative. And I don't know who is better than Jack McCallum. Jack McCallum is one of the preeminent basketball writers in this country. I remember from the days of Sports Illustrated. He wrote the authoritative book on the Dream Team called Dream Team, How Michael, Magic, Larry, Charles, and the Greatest Team of All Time Conquered the World and Changed the Game of Basketball Forever. Nice, snappy, short title.
It's a great book. I highly recommend
it. I read it. And he wrote one in recent years called Golden Days, which kind of connects West Coast basketball from the early Lakers all the way up, including the recent Golden State Warriors team. Ray, and he wrote a book on Jerry West. Ray, I would like to, Your Honor, present Jack McCallum as an expert witness, if I may.
Absolutely.
Jack, thank you so much for being our guest today.
My pleasure. Your faithful Hollywood correspondent.
There you go. Oh, and by the way, I left this out. You and Ray used to work together way back in the day, is that right, in your youths?
I passed through the... I used to look at Ray in awe from the press box. I was more of a Lehigh Valley guy. Then when I went to the Bulletin for a cup of... almost a literal cup of coffee, Ray was gone, right? Ray, 1980, you were not there?
Correct. I had that was the summer that I left the Bulletin and went to the Daily News, just about the time that you were arriving.
All right.
Yeah, but Ray, I remember him in the press box one night, and he knows I'm going to say this, but writing the immortal line after a Phillies brawl, Kevin, Apocalypse Now, so Shea. And that's just... put me on the floor. I don't know what it was.
There you go.
Maybe you had to be there, but it was just such the perfect encapsulation of the lefty who was more than willing to engage, let's say.
All right. So, Jack McCallum, by the way, on Twitter, at McCallum12. You know what's going on with this series. There was a lot of blowback to it recently. Jerry West sent a letter to HBO and producer Adam McKay, demanding retraction and apology for the network, lawsuit. Let us start there because I think that's the character that's generated the most controversy. You wrote the book on Jerry West. Is he being portrayed unfairly?
Yeah, of course. I think there's so much complication here, but here's the thing with West, and that is the things that they are portraying, which is a volcanic temper. A refusal, you know, anxieties, a kind of darkness of the soul, a lot of things like that. Those things are accurate. And I've talked to Jeff Perlman, author of the book, about this. But that doesn't mean the way that Jerry manifests, the way that it's being manifested in the show, which are these throwing a trophy through the window, walking off the golf course, treating everyone basically insultingly. That is not how Jerry manifested these things within him that he had to battle. I mean, he has his own book about it, which he was very honest, talking about depression and the way he grew up and his darkness. Jerry internalized things. Jerry's problem was he didn't kind of let them out. And the whole idea of him being this always ready to explode guy is just not accurate. And if people have accurately said, the defenders of the show, and I get it. Yeah, it's not a documentary, and we can talk about why it isn't, but still, it raises the question of, are you obligated when you have the title of a book, real people who are still alive, who have their own legacies, are you somewhat compelled to have it closer to the truth? And it's somewhat of an unanswerable question, but that's what's being raised by the series.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jack. And I think that what surprised me, and frankly kind of disappointed me, was I read Jeff Perlman's book. And I thought the Jeff Perlman book was, to my experience, I wasn't around that team nearly as much as you or have the access that you did, but enough that I felt like I had a sense of who they were. And I thought that Jeff's book captured it pretty well, and I kind of expected that to be reflected in the TV series, and it's not at all. I mean, they've taken what I thought was a pretty good, pretty factual book and turned it basically into a TV show.
Yeah, well, you know, what happens with the books, somebody options a book in Hollywood. That means they buy the book from the author. It's a great investment for a movie company or a company making a series or whatever, because it gives them a basis of factual material that they can research. And it's not without a huge amount of money for the author. Any author, including me, willingly gives it up because what the hell? It's Hollywood, you know, and it's money we didn't have. Mm-hmm. So that is exactly what you said, what happened with Jeff. Hollywood is not compelled to write what is exactly on the page. They could make a show about blueberry preserve, you know, magic cooking blueberry preserves, and they wouldn't be breaking any laws. As I said, the question is, when you do that, are you, you know, sort of, because the people are not fictitious and because they still exist, and as I said, have their own really big legacies, should you pay a little more adherence to what the book was, to what the facts were?
So,
because, as you said, Jeff's book was really, Jeff's a great, you know, I worked with him, in full disclosure, he's a friend. Worked with him at Sports Illustrated. Jeff will go after the jugular and the sensational, but Jeff is a great reporter and pretty, pretty accurate over the years.
So I was talking with somebody I know who's about 30, who's watching this thing, is enthralled by this show. Listen, I got to admit, it's great popcorn TV. I'm watching every episode and enjoying it, even as I know it's how inaccurate it is. But this person who is, you know, younger 30 said, wow, I never knew it was like that. I never knew this with Dr. Jerry Buss was like this. I never knew that Kareem was that bad of a guy. I never knew. And so, I mean, I guess I'll ask your opinion. Is because people who are not our age, who didn't live through it, are going to see this and think, well, that's fact. What damage does it do?
Well, you know, guys, this is America. We are free to do this. And I think if you read enough, if those same people that are reading, looking at the series and enjoying it, and by the way, this journey through Lakerland with John C. Reilly, I get it. It's really interesting. John C. Reilly is terrific. This is just my opinion.
He's great.
I mean, he is great.
He's great.
It's sort of like he's the engineer of this surreal train, and he's taking it through this journey in his eyes, and he is. But he's always fantastic. I mean, when they got it was supposed to be Michael Shannon, by the way, who's a lot darker of a character.
Yeah,
he turned down the thing because he didn't like the breaking of the third wall when they go through and talk to the audience, and he didn't like that. He's a little more serious. I could just see John C. Reilly going, "Hell yeah, we'll do that. That's not a problem." So Adam McKay's audience is not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Jack McCallum, or Glenn and Ray, or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or Bob Ryan, who has unleashed a furious, you know, gerrymad upon the show. That's not his audience. His audience is the guy you're talking to.
Yeah.
The 30-year-old guy who wants to be entertained.
Yep.
And the fact
I loves it.
Yeah. The fact that he's going to get some wrong impressions, that's just the way it goes. And we hope what he does is he reads some of the retractions, he listens to some of the shows, he reads Kareem's great piece and says, no, this isn't exactly how it is. But the idea that Adam McKay and the show committed some sort of legal, you know, impropriety is just not going to hold up as much as I feel for Jerry and what he's going through. Because I've talked to Jerry about it, talk to his son, and there is a really bad feeling, you know, about what they feel the show has done to their legacy. And I hope people read enough and get enough all-encompassing knowledge to say, I'm entertained by the show, but let's not feel that this is exactly the way it was.
Yeah, I think that's I think it's a fair representation. Did you when you look back on that team, apart from the TV series, but if you look back on the reality of that team, there have been a lot of great teams that have come along, and there have been a lot of dynasties in the NBA. But that team had a personality. That team had a history. That team leaves a footprint that I really think is unique, Jack. I mean, that was the true marriage of sport and entertainment. And the Lakers, and maybe it was partly L.A., maybe it was partly the crowd that they got at courtside, maybe it was, you know, the cutaways to Jack Nicholson or whatever. But I think that team, you know, they'll be remembered in basketball for reasons other than just basketball. I mean, they were a true floor show every night.
Oh, no question. And that was the brainchild of Jerry Buss. Saw this. I mean, a lot of the stuff in there, we have to remember that a lot of stuff about the show is accurate. And the fact that Buss was taking this great gamble on a sport, you know, the era they show, that 79-80, as you guys know, I mean, the NBA could have gone out of business, you know. Mm-hmm. And Jerry Buss created this kind of other thing to your point of what they did, that they are almost, I'm going to use the word almost, they're almost overlooked as a basketball team. They won five championships in the decade of the 80s against the Bird Celtics, the Irving 76ers, the Isaiah Thomas Pistons, the Dominique Wilkins Hawks. They were so good. And when I look back on a team that had an amazing, efficient offense, here's a team that was known for fast breaking and, you know, sort of upping the energy of the game. But then they had the best half-court option in the history of the game, which is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They shot near 50%. They were really, really an efficient, great basketball team along with the show. So what they achieved, as you said, was really unlike anything any other team did during that era, and they deserve a lot of credit for what the modern NBA came out of those dark days of the 70s.
Jack McCallum is our guest. If you haven't read his books, you should read any and all of them. Start with the Dream Team book. Listen, while we have you, and I know you're not in this realm right now, but we were very surprised the other night to learn Jay Wright retired, 60 years old, great coach at Villanova, won the two national championships. You're a hoops guy. What's the Jay Wright legacy?
Well, I mean, I was shocked too, particularly since my closest friend, probably, I can have friends in the college basketball business that I didn't cover all the time, is Jim Boeheim's one of them. And Jim is apparently going to be there when he's 107. So for Jay to exit when he still has really great teams, people have said it better than I have. Dane O'Neill wrote a great piece about it. People that have been close. And because there's so many great Philly reporters down there, you know, Hoops and Dick Girardi and Dana and everybody down there, I couldn't say it any better. But what he did was, I think, bring a kind of a kind of honesty to the game that I think you didn't have to be a corporate basketball power like Duke has become. Hey, and I love Mike Krzyzewski, but you know, you don't have to have that corporate thing attached to it. Kentucky, you know, those kind of teams, that you can do it out there on the main line. You can do it with some sort of naturalness and niceness. And that's always what I didn't know Jay very well, but I did know him. And he was just a terrific person. And you know, it's funny. He went out the same year as Mike, as Krzyzewski. But Jay's loss, I mean, maybe it's because I'm near Philly. But, wow, that is really, really a giant loss.
I agree.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, Glenn and I were talking about it in the first hour. And, you know, we've seen these press conferences before. We've seen guys step away, step aside, retire. Players, coaches, we've seen this before. But Jay's, I thought, had, and I think this just kind of reflects his personality. Jay's just had an authenticity, a kind of a genuineness to it that, you know, sometimes guys have these press conferences and you almost feel like they're reading from a script. You almost feel like, you know, the sports information director or somebody helped them craft it. And with Jay, totally consistent with his personality. I mean, he just got up there and just spoke from the heart. And it was really, you know, if whether you were a Villanova fan or not, I mean, you had to admire what this guy accomplished. And the grace that with which he leaves is really kind of unique in this era of sports, Jack. I just thought that, you know, if you look at the 21 years, the record, the wins, they all speak for themselves. But I think just the way he carried himself for those 21 years is that people are going to remember that as much as the two championships.
Well, grace was actually the word I was searching for. I didn't come up with it. But I'll tell you my number one Jay moment, and I always remember this, and that was we were all watching together. My college friends get together to watch the final game, whether we give a crap about the teams or not. The year they hit the shot to beat North Carolina, and right after the shot went in, Jay, incredible game. Jay gets up and just breathes. You take a look at it sometime. Just breathes like the sigh of relief goes. Like he doesn't put his arms up. And I remember one of my friends went, how is he not jumping up and down? I said, I guarantee you what he's thinking of, how painful this is for Carolina. You know, that this game came down to this jump shot, which you make, you make it 2 out of 5 times in practice. You make it 1 out of 20 times with the NCAA game on the line. And the little margin of victory. And I just thought, really, it was, maybe I'm reading too much into it. I never asked Jay that question. But to me, it was this moment, of course, of relief. But it was sort of empathy, like, you know, we're a little fortunate to have won that game. And I'm not going to explode into this, display that I outcoached, Roy Williams. I got the last shot. My guy made it. In 2022, it could be different.
Jack McCallum, it is a pleasure. You can follow Jack on Twitter at McCallum12, if I recall correctly. I don't have it up right now. And he puts up compelling stuff. And as I said, read his books. They're great.